Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. As you turn there, one announcement that we didn't make, I asked Austin if I could make this one because I was really surprised. Last Sunday night, Doug manages the podcast. He manages the services that we broadcast from here on Sunday morning. And we started this, I think, in the spring, Doug, or early summer or sometime. Doug started doing this, and we found, Doug shared last Sunday night, that since that time, there have been over 400 downloads of the services, which I think is awesome. People are listening to the services that can't be here. Maybe some of us are going back and listening to Daddy really say that on Sunday morning, but over 400. But what I thought was most interesting, in the past month in Japan, somebody has downloaded the services five times. So five times in the country of Japan, the podcast has gone to. So if you're listening from Japan today, konnichiwa, hello, ohayo gozaimasu, good morning. It's good to have you listening. So I just wanted to get that in, Doug. But I thought that was really kind of cool that somebody from Japan is listening to our services. I can't imagine who that might be, but somebody is listening. So that is really cool. Another good thing that I found in the book, that holy humor that I really enjoyed reading, it was a quote by George Burns. George Burns was a comedian years ago, and one of the things that he said, a good sermon always has three parts. It has a good beginning, it has a good ending, and the distance between the two is really short. And that's what we're going to work on today. So we're going to try to have a good beginning, a good ending, and keep that distance between those two really short. But if you do have your Bibles with you, go ahead and let's turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. And Jesus is continuing to teach here. We've been looking this year. Our goal has been PCBC 2020. That's our vision for this year, and for the next 3 years, that's the vision we have. And we're taking that from John 20:20, where it says, when the disciples saw him, meaning when they saw Jesus, they were filled with joy. And we realize, you know, joy comes to our life, and we have more joy in our life the more we see Jesus and the more we experience Jesus. And so really that's our goal. And so we determined this year that one of the ways that we can see Jesus is if we see the things that he taught, see the things that he said, and listen to those. And so so that's going to help us with our goal this year. So that's what we're looking at. We're bouncing back and forth between Matthew, Mark, and Luke as they talk about the things that Jesus said and did. And here's Matthew's account. Of Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37 says, either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good person produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil person produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. I tell you that on that day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for this time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here. God, we've seen it out today, Father. We need you. Father, in Christ alone, Father, is how we see changes. In Christ alone is how we see changes to our lives when we commit our lives to you, when we follow you. In Christ alone is how we see changes throughout the world. And so, Father, we just exalt you here this morning. And Father, I'm thankful for the worship service as we've seen it today. Father, I'm thankful that you have reminded us through Jacob, Father, and Mark and Jesse and the choir, and Father, through our opportunity to be here, God, you have reminded us that it's through you, God, that we're filled with joy. It's through you that we see you and all the things that you're doing. So, Father, thank you for this time. for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Now, Jesus is doing something very familiar here. He's said right here in this passage something that we all know. I mean, this is not a secret. He says, look, hey, a tree, when you see the fruit on that tree, you know what kind of fruit it is. And we've talked about this before. You've heard this in Sunday school class. I mean, if I look at an apple, I don't have to be a scientist. If I see apples on a tree, I know it's an apple tree. If I see pears on a tree, I know it's a pear tree. You know, so we don't have to be really all together to know that that's true. We know that that happens. But then Jesus says something interesting. But here's what he says. He says, you know what? But the words that you say really determine what kind of tree you are. It's not so much the actions. It's not so much the things you do. It's the words you say. That really reveals your heart. And words really express our life. We're going to get into this in a moment, but words express our life. It's been said that you and I, on an average day, will have 37 conversations. 37 conversations. We will have enough words that we'll speak in a year that we could fill a 200-page book. In a lifetime, we could have 2,000 books written just by the words that we say. Now, I know it's been said. It really can't be proven, but it has been said, and we laugh about it, you know, that, hey, women speak more words in a day than men do. And actually, there was a statistic that came out years. It's used for years. Maybe you heard it, that on an average day, women speak about 20,000 words during the day, and men speak about 7,000 words during the day. I don't know really if that's true. Sometimes I think it really depends upon the person. A Penn State study found not too long ago that it's a little bit closer, about 8,800 words that women may say on a daily basis, 6,000 words that men may say on a daily basis. So I'm not sure exactly what. I do know this, and it's not scientific, but I know in our house, I have two children still at home. And don't get me on that one, golly. But I still have two children at home. I have a 16-year-old boy, and I have a 10-year-old girl. And I'll tell you, I take both of them to school. I don't take Sydney to school as much anymore. But I'll take Samuel to school, and we'll get in the car, and I'll say, Samuel, it's going to be a good day today. I'm praying for you. I love you. And he says, thanks, Dad. I love you too. And that's the only conversation we have in a 10-minute drive to Apollo High School. That's all that we say. When Samuel gets out of the car at Apollo, he says, Dad, I'm glad we had this time. And I say, I am too, Samuel. It was a good talk. And so that's all. But Sydney, on the other hand, we can drive 45 seconds over here to Southern Oaks, and she can cover 10 topics in 45 seconds. I'm not really kidding. That really happens. You know. So I don't know. It's not scientific, but I found that to be true in our house. But here's the thing we know for sure. Words really express our lives. Words are important. God saw that words were important. God said in the beginning, he said, let this happen, and it did. Let there be this, and there was. So by his words alone, it happened. And Jesus didn't say here, did you notice this? Jesus didn't say that we are acquitted and condemned by our works. He said we are acquitted and condemned by our words. So it's very important to think about the things that we talk about. It's very important to think about the things that we're saying because it matters. It really expresses our very lives. There's things that we're saying that aren't right. There's things that we're saying that are just wrong. Think about the things that come out of our mouth that could be wrong. I've got one right off the top of my head that I can think of. Deceitfulness. Lies. I mean, not lying shouldn't be the best policy for us as believers. Not lying should be the only policy for us as believers. Honesty should be the only route that we take when it comes to believers. Satan is the father of lies. He's convinced us that we can lie and it'll be okay. We're not really hurting ourselves. But I prefer what Sir Walter Scott said, and we found this to be true as well. When we practice what a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. And that's true. I can only speak from personal experience, but this I know. When I tell one lie, I find very quickly that I'm telling more lies to cover that one lie that I told right in the beginning. And so deceitfulness, lying, is one way that we do wrong by our mouths. I'll tell you another way. Gossip. Gossip is talking about somebody and wrecking their reputation. It could be true, it could be not true. But that's but don't you love to gossip? I do. I really do. I'll just admit it. I love gossip. And you know why? You know why we love gossip? I'll tell you why. In Proverbs chapter 18, it explains it. I want to read this for you. In Proverbs chapter 18, it says this. Verse 8 says, "The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts." In other words, when we hear gossip, our fallen nature says, "Yum, I've got to have more." And haven't you? No, don't do this. I see what you're saying. You're thinking, "Oh, Eddie, you're really bad." But you're the same way. We do it, don't we? We hear things that we really are juicy, and we want more. I just want to. We're like that lady. What was her name? Clary in Steel Magnolias. Remember that movie? I don't know if I should admit that I even watched Steel Magnolias, but I did. I saw Steel Magnolias once. But in that movie, wasn't there a lady by the name of Clary who said this? She made this remark. She said, "If you can't say something good about somebody, come sit by me." If you can't say something good about somebody, come sit by me. And that's true a lot of times. We love gossip. It's just part of our fallen nature. And we as Christians, we sometimes, again, don't give me that look. I know it's true. Sometimes, don't we do this? We use prayer requests to perpetuate gossip. We use prayer requests to facilitate gossip. Because this is sometimes what we say. We say, "Hey, could you please pray for Eddie? Because Eddie hasn't worked. He lost his job." And you say, "Okay, that's cool. That's a valid prayer request. Just pray for Eddie because he lost his job." But oftentimes, how many times do we not stop there? "Please pray for Eddie because he lost his job. That's cool." But then we say something like this. He's had 4 jobs in the past 2 years. It doesn't seem like he can keep a job. I think it's because he's lazy. I think it's because he doesn't like to work. And see, we go right off the deep end. We go right off the cliff with that simple prayer request that was completely innocent, and all of a sudden it's turned into something not so innocent. And with our mouths, we do that. That's what gossip does. There's a cousin to gossip, and it's slander. Slander. Slander is not the truth. Slander is saying something that is false and just assassinating somebody's character. This is an example of how we slander. Has this ever happened to you? You have somebody that you called them 3 times and left voicemail messages, and they didn't call you back. You sent them a text. They never got back with you. And so you're just fuming. "Well, how could they not get back with me? You know, that was very important. I really needed to talk to them." And then on Sunday morning, you see them, and they act all happy. They don't act like anything happened at all. And you're just thinking, why are they doing this? You know, how are they acting this way? When I sent them those messages, I called them, and they didn't call me back. And all of a sudden, you overhear them say something like this. "Hey," they're talking to somebody else, and you overhear them, "Hey, I got your message. I'll call you back this afternoon. I'll get back with you. I just wanted to let you know I got your message." And you think, And so after they've gone, you go up to that person that they were talking to. You said, "Don't count on him returning your messages. I've called him, and he's never called me back. He's never gotten. Don't count on him. He's just that way. He never gets back with anybody." And so you just trash them right then. Guess what happens tomorrow morning? Tomorrow morning, that person calls you on the phone. They said, "Hey, I got your message. Just want to let you know I've been on vacation for the past week. Haven't checked my messages. Haven't even looked at my phone. But I got 3 messages. It sounded like it was important. I'm sorry to just now be calling you back, but I wanted to give you a call back." And there you are. You trashed them on Sunday, and now they're calling you back and explaining what happened on Monday. And that's an example of slander. And there's lots of things that we do with our mouths that are just wrong. There's lots of ways that we use our mouths that are just wrong. I mean, it can be boasting. It can be bragging. It can be condemning. It can be complaining. We've talked about complaining over and over again, haven't we? I mean, just we've seen all through the New Testament right now where Jesus has been talking about complaining, because there's some people that are just chronic complainers. They'll complain about anything. If it's too hot, they'll complain, "Man, I wish it were colder." If it's cold, they'll complain, "I wish it were colder." That would be hotter, wouldn't it be, Larry? So thank you. So I mean, they'll find everything. If they live in an apartment, "Man, I wish I lived in a condo." If they lived in a condo, "I wish I lived in a house, a nice house." If they live in a house, "I wish it was a bigger house. I wish it was a nicer house." I wish all these things. If they're single, "I wish I was married." If they're married, You fill in that part. I'm not going there. But you know, we just find all these kinds of things to complain about. And the Bible says it's wrong. You know, I mean, this is wrong because this is what it does. Have you ever had this happen to you? You put chicken in the trash, raw chicken, and you forget about it. You think to yourself, okay, I'm going to put this in here, and I'm going to take this out because I know what's going to happen if I don't take this out. Then a couple days later, you come home from work, and the whole house just stinks. Has that ever happened? I mean, it could be vegetables, it could be fruit, but chicken's the worst. I mean, it really is. Chicken's the worst. You had chicken in that trash, and the whole house just stinks. Now, at one time, that was just in the trash can. But over time, that spread throughout the whole house. And you've got to open the windows, and you've got to do all these things, put air freshener out. But here's the thing. That smell is not going away until you remove the trash. That smell is not going anywhere, no matter how much you try to make it better, until you remove the trash. And the thing is true in our life. And I pray you're like me here this morning, convicted. You know, these things that I'm saying, my revealing who I am is not going away until I get rid of this, until I make some changes in my life. And there's three things that we need to do real quickly to make changes. One of the things we need to understand is words reveal our heart. Words reveal really who we are. That's what Jesus said. He said, you know why the Pharisees say evil things? It's because inside their heart, they're evil. I want you to say something, and I want you to write it down, or at least remember this. Remember this or write it down here this morning before we leave. Everything that you're saying, are you ready for this? The words that you're saying reveal what your heart is full of. That's what Jesus says right here. The words that you're saying reveal what your heart is full of. You know why? I mean, Jesus is saying, you know what? The words, it's just like fruit. It's like the tree. We see these trees and we know that, hey, if an apple, we see apples on a tree, it's an apple tree. If we see cherries on a tree, it's a cherry tree. If we see spaghetti on a tree, we wonder to ourselves, how in the world did that happen? I don't know. But we know, oh, yeah. but when we see these things, we know this is the result, and we know it's true for our lives as well. The result of what is in our heart are the things that we say, Our words reveal what our heart is full of. So if our heart is full of our family, that's what we're going to be talking about most often. If our heart is full of our job, that's what we're going to be talking about most often. If our heart is full of hate, that's what we're going to be talking about most often. If our heart's full of bitterness, we're going to be complaining most often. Is our hearts full of Jesus? Listen to the words that you're saying. Are you talking about Jesus? Because we say what our hearts are full of. That's the second thing I want us to know. I want us to realize that we really need to pay attention to what we say. I know I'm standing here thinking to myself, boy, I hope this person's listening to this. You ever do that? You ever think and on the other side of the room, think, boy, I hope that person over there is listening to this. We go home and we send this person this link to the podcast today because I really want them to hear this message. You know what I think every time I hear myself preach this, every time I talk about a topic like this, I think to myself, God, search my heart. And if there's any deceit within me, if there's anything like this within me, lead me into the way everlasting. That's Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. Lead me into the way of everlasting. Because we need to really be asking ourselves. We need to be examining ourselves and thinking to ourselves, am I doing the right thing? You know, a lot of times I'm like that guy that went to that party. And at this party, they had sandwiches with Limburger cheese. Who at a party has sandwiches with Limburger cheese? But he went to this party with sandwiches with Limburger cheese, and he just ate several of these sandwiches, you know, just got his fill, and he had a mustache. And so he began to walk around the room talking to people, and after a period of time, that Limburger cheese on his mustache began to smell. And he's talking with this person, having this conversation, and as he's talking, he's smelling, he's thinking, man, this guy really smells. This guy is bad. And he thought, you know what? The thing I need to do is I need to let this person know that he smells really bad so he doesn't, you know, offend everybody else. And so he just decided, hey, I need to tell you something. I hate to do this, but you smell really bad. And so the guy got offended and just walked away from him, just stormed away from him. So he's now standing there all by himself, and he takes another big whiff. You know, that guy left a bad smell in this room. This whole room just smells. And he goes into the next room to try to get away from that, and the next room smells. He said, boy, this room really smells. And then he decides, I need to go outside for a breath of fresh air. When he gets outside, he takes a big whiff. He says, the whole world stinks. It's really bad. When the problem was underneath his nose all the time. And a lot of times in my life, the problem is underneath my nose right then, right there. And I really need to listen and pay attention to the things that I'm saying. There's one final thing that Jesus noted here that I want us to see, and that's this. Here's the problem I have, because I'll understand and realize that, man, I'm saying things and I don't want that to happen. I don't want to say that. That ever happened to you? You know, I mean, we catch ourselves and we think to ourselves, I know this, I know how this is making me look. I know this is the testimony, but I can't stop it. I got to tell this gossip, or I can't stop saying this thing because it's a really a good point. I know it's going to condemn this person. I know this person's going to look bad after I say this, but I just can't help it. It's just a point I need to get across. And so we tell ourselves all the time we have this inner struggle and this battle. I wish I could stop, but I just can't. I just can't. You know what the problem is? The problem is the same problem we have when we go out weed eating and we weed down those weeds. We take that weed eater and we go over those weeds, and the very next week, boy, they're stronger. They're bigger than ever, it seems like. You know why? It's because we never get at the root. We never dig down and pull that weed out. That weed is going to grow back time and again because the root beneath that weed is much larger and much bigger, and it's going to come back stronger and bigger each and every time. And the reason why I can't stop my words, the reason why I can't stop doing what I'm doing, is because I need Jesus. You do too. We need Jesus if we're ever going to make lasting change in our life. But it's important. It is important. I put a poem here, and I'm going to close with this. This is a 9-minute poem. I'm not going to read it for you. It was called The First Settler's Story by Will Carleton years ago. I think it was about 1910. Or something, but it was about, if you read the poem, you'll know it's about a couple, a pioneer who took his young wife, and they decided to blaze a trail out west, go out in the wilderness. They were going to build their lives together. They were going to build their home together, and everything was fine until one night he came home just mad. He came home angry. He came home ornery, and boy, she said something, and he just let her have it. I mean, he complained about her, just was very bitter in his heart toward her, and said some things that he didn't regret. He never said he was sorry. They went to bed that night. He went, got up the next day. He went to work, did whatever he did. And she was at home. There was a storm that came up. She went out to look for some livestock and try to bring it back. When he came back to see where she was, he couldn't find her anywhere. And through that storm, she died. And the last things that he said to her were words of hate and bitterness. And this is how this poem ends. It says, "Boys flying kites, haul in their white-winged birds. You can't do that when you're flying words. Careful with fire is good advice, we know. Careful with words is 10 times doubly so. Thoughts unexpressed may sometimes fall back dead, but God Himself can't kill them once they're said." Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.